Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. 11-game suspension for Deshaun Watson.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What do you apologize
for? For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I hope he uses this 11-game suspension to find a better place for himself and deal with his clear issues.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Coming up, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air here on Peacock Sirius XM 85 and also the Terrestrial Radio Network for the Rich Eisen Show coast to coast. We had a great chat in hour number one with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. And then hour two, we had Bruce Feldman right here in studio to give us a preview of the college football season and also review what's going on in the world of expansion and NIL deals and breaking off football world at the top of the, I guess, collegiate food chain into a college football playoff umbrella out of the NCAA. If you missed any of that, it's all sitting on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman, for hour number three.
Hey, Rich, man, how are you?
Okay, and the man who's sitting in DJ Mikey D's chair, once again, Jay Felly, good to see you, sir. TJ Jefferson's got a big-ass grab bag here in hour number three.
We'll go digging.
What's it about?
Well, you know, okay, I'll break it down. You know how we discussed Robert De Niro yesterday kind of extensively, his film?
Yeah, because he turned 86, right? Or 89. No, he turned 79. My bad, 79.
Robert Redford said 86.
86, right. Yeah. But De Niro turned 79. So, I forgot there's two GOAT actors who had celebrated birthdays this week. Sorry.
Yes, yeah, sir. So it was like, you know, we kind of broke down what decades of his were better. So today in the grab bag, I decided to give my top five favorite actors by decade.
Okay. Very good. Ooh, that'll be good. Later on in this hour. Like Chris Brockman's got a What's More Likely coming up shortly. But I want to take some phone calls. 844-204-RICH. Always enjoy chatting with the fans and consumers of this Rich Eisen Show. And that includes our friend All Rise. Let's go to Terzo in Iowa, our friend Terzo back here on the program. What's up, counselor?
Which line, please?
That's two, sir. Two. Two. What's up?
What's up, Rich? What's up, guys?
There's
a caravan right now from Carl going up to Chicago with 15 of us to go see the Cubs Brewers tomorrow.
That sounds okay.
Okay, very good. I'm imagining there might be some alcohol involved in that, so drive safely,
if
sir.
If someone runs on the field, Terzo, and they get arrested, do you represent them?
No, well, so I don't have a license in Illinois, so I'm just a civilian at that point, but we have a professional driver, so we don't ask anybody to be doing anything illegal there, Rich.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that, Terzo. Very good. What's going on, sir?
Well, first thing, hey, TJ, I came across the nice, crisp $2 bill, and it kind of reminded me of our bet last year. Oh. And I was just going to see maybe we put another $2 bill up Dallas against 49ers, who has the best record.
Well, that's got to do it. Come on, Thomas Jefferson.
I can't say no, I guess.
I mean,
right?
So TJ Jefferson can't, you know,
trying to see if can't, I get another
can't
two
say
in
no
here.
To a T Jefferson, right?
Yeah,
right?
No, I don't have any more twos on me.
Okay. So. Well, we can find them.
Yeah, Terzo. You know I'm down.
We can find them. Also, Rich, like if I'm the Haslams, how do I allow Deshaun to go out there and do an interview? Florio said it the best. There's no reason for him to be out there and to talk. It made no sense. And all it completely does is just show his guilt and everything that he's done and the no remorse that he shares for those women.
I am keen to know how that did come about. I mean, a written statement would have sufficed, and I think it would have made sense that the Browns telling Watson, look, if you're, you know, if you feel like you have legal exposure still with the one remaining civil suit, or any other suits or anything with a statute of limitation that you're concerned about, let the written statement speak for itself and you don't have to say anything. And the next time you speak doesn't have to be until mid-November. And we'll let the owners, and then you could have said, you know, and thanks for the call, Terzo, greatly appreciate it. And then you could have also sat there and said, you know, well, the owner's talking and the general manager's talking and the coach is talking and Deshaun doesn't talk, wouldn't that be weird? Well, no, because they're the ones who are doing all the talking for him. They're the ones who are saying, this is a guy who deserves a second chance. Oh, okay, because this is a guy who also says, what's the second chance for? Because I didn't do anything wrong in the first chance. And then they're all like, well, he's going through a process. That's what Dee Haslam said, that sometimes it takes a while. He's going to be going through counseling. You know, well, okay, that's understandable. It takes a while, but the guy doesn't think he clearly needs it because the first chance was, it's like it was a perfect phone call. Okay, got it. And then Jimmy's talking about, well, he's a guy that can rehabilitate his image and so on and so forth. Well, the guy who's doing the image rehabilitation doesn't think it needs it. So they're doing the talking for him. They're saying the things that they say he thinks and feels and that the league expects him to be saying in exchange for this deal that they cut with him. So, yeah, he shouldn't have spoken yesterday. Just let the written statement speak for itself. You don't have to see him, hear from him until November, but I'm keen to know if he said, I want to speak, I got to speak. Or they're just like, you know what, let him talk. Get it out of the way. He's still going to speak as all quarterbacks do. And I know Florio said earlier that, you know, he might come out and say that he has turned the page and he understands his issues and whatever when he comes back. I think he's just going to, when he comes back in November, you know what I think he's going to say? I'm done with that. That's in my rearview mirror. I'll only take questions on the Texans. Well, just not those questions about the Texans. I'll only take questions on the Texans defense. That's all I'm taking questions about.
Right.
I think that's how it's going to go in November.
Just given what we've seen from him so far, what else could it be?
Speaking of what's more likely, let's hit that edition with a monster preseason week right in front of us. Hit it, please.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. Christopher, you have the floor here on the Rich Eisen Show with a what's more likely. Go for it.
What's up, everybody? All these teams play each other this weekend, okay? So it's kind of related to that. We got 49ers and Vikings. Who's more likely to be the most important to their team's success this year? Debo or Justin Jefferson?
Oh.
I don't know if they're playing tonight, but they're going to play. Obviously.
I'm going to go with Debo just because he does so much and he is such a difference maker and is such an identity builder. I've just got to go with that. I've got to go with that. The Niners don't have a Dalvin Cook, man. So I do love the chip on Justin Jefferson's shoulder, and I do know one of the things I'm attempting to talk myself into is that Kevin O'Connell's going to unlock Kirk Cousins, and I define that, since you pressured me to define it, Chris, to say that he will be a better big-game quarterback than we've normally see.
Man.
And if that happens, Justin Jefferson's going to have a lot of big games, but I'll still go Debo Samuel, Chris. That's what I'll say there.
All right.
Good way to put me on the spot right off the bat.
All right. Broncos, Bills on Saturday.
Yes.
Who's more likely to be an MVP finalist, Russ or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. Russ never got a vote. What else? What do you want to? What do you think? He's got to go to Denver now to finally get a vote?
No.
That's it. Josh Allen, man. What do you mean? So the three names we're going to hear in NFL honors, one of the three names will be his, is what you're saying?
Yeah, one of the names is going to be one of these guys.
Okay, yeah. You think Russ is going to get an MVP vote this year?
I think there's a scenario where he has a really great season.
Who's he throwing to? What do you got?
He's got
Judy and Sutton and those guys.
KJ Hamler.
Judy and Sutton.
Okay, all right, great, got it.
Good backs, good tight ends,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
No,
who's he throwing to?
Are we having one of those okay arguments? Okay. Okay. I love those with friends.
Super high register for Russ, huh? You're not riding? That's right.
He ain't riding, Brockman.
You're not riding.
I need to see the horse out of the barn before I start riding. And I appreciate being...
Rich, they're going to put up 50 in week one.
Appreciate that I'm opening myself up to being called a bandwagon hopper. Since I'm on the Raiders,
on the Raiders,
you know. I'm on the Raiders, and I'm beginning to come around on the Chiefs. And as you know, I'm always partial to the Chargers. I don't think they're going to get four teams into the playoffs, brother.
No, I don't think so either.
So I think it's going to be a process. I think Russ can win a Super Bowl there. I think that they can build themselves into a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if this is that year for it.
If they're a Super Bowl contender, he's got to be near MVP level.
Top three? Guy has never gotten a vote? What else?
You mentioned the Raiders, Rich. I feel like I might have done this one earlier on this year, but now we're in the preseason. It's all good.
You're already recycling it?
Short memory. Yeah. What touchdowns this year? Devontae or Tyreek?
Devontae. What else?
Wow. That was fast.
Come on, man.
I don't know, man. It looks like money. I don't know. What do you mean?
I appreciate the cheetah. I appreciate everything he can do. I'll take the guy who's already played... with
Dolphins,
his quarterback.
Raiders play this week.
I got it. I'll take the guy who's already played with his quarterback.
Like 10 years ago.
Understood.
It's been a minute.
It doesn't matter. It's still they still have a chemistry.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I hear you. I need to see more salty to him. What else? What else you got over there?
Okay. These two teams play each other this weekend, too. More likely to win more games this season, Steelers or Jaguars?
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I'll take the Steelers.
Who's their quarterback?
I don't know yet.
They're not as good as Trevor Lawrence.
I'll take the Steelers.
Whoever's playing quarterback is not as good as Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, again, he is an unknown commodity as a sophomore quarterback who an unevaluable quarterback entering year two after starting the entirety of year one. When has that ever happened? Two words, Urban and Meyer. So I don't know. And you are making a good case because I do like Doug Peterson. And I do like what they're building there. But I'll take the team that is coached by a guy who's never had a losing record and is one of those. That story you sent everybody, I know, that's made the rounds of Mike Tomlin broke up a fight amongst a bunch of kids and said, hey, let's all go to Steelers practice together.
I'm hearing that the breaking up the fight part wasn't necessarily true.
Well, anyway,
he did have the kids come.
I will take the Steelers in that one. You're taking the Jaguars in that one? Why don't you do it? And then we'll have a nice little fun conversation throughout the year.
I will take the Jaguars. I mean,
over the Steelers. More wins.
To win more games?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steelers are in a harder division, too.
Okay. Noted. It's like that B.J. Novak gif. I'm writing it in my book. It's that gif, right?
TJ, you going to the game this weekend?
Probably not.
Cowboys-Chargers play each other this weekend. More likely to win their division, Cowboys or Chargers?
Huh?
Win their division. Cowboys or Chargers?
I'll go Cowboys. I'll go Cowboys.
Even though you've been talking so much about the Eagles?
But it's not like the Eagles are a lock.
And the Raiders?
I'll take a 1-2 chance over a 1-4 chance, right?
He's playing the odds.
But you need to see so much out of Denver, so it's a 1-3 chance.
I'll take the 1-2 chance over a 1-3 chance then. It's odds. I'm playing the odds, which is what you do every single weekend. I'm just more successful at it with this one attempt.
I love playing the odds. By the way, everyone out there, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the totals for preseason games, Vegas is overcorrected. So you might want to go the other way after week
one. Who's betting preseason football? Are you doing that?
I'm 6-0 in the preseason right now.
Oh, my God.
And the under hit last night, which I
can't even imagine. Players you've never heard of that won't be playing in week one are going to be determining your monetary outcome? Is that what you're saying?
Big moment.
Why would you do that?
Big moment last night. So the total closed at 39.5. And as you know, it was 27-11. That's 38. I do the math for you. And they were driving in the end zone, dropped a fourth down touchdown pass, saved the under.
Which is what you bet?
Just saying.
You have problems.
All right, last one, guys.
No doubt.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
Even Steve Levy was talking about it during the game.
Big bag of leaves.
And they shouted out Stanford Steve. It was awesome. Last one. Rookie quarterback, who's more likely to start a game first? Sam Howell, Malik Willis.
These are two of my guys I want to see more out of this weekend.
That's why I did that.
I'll go Sam Howell. I'll go Sam Howell.
No faith in Wentz, huh?
Dude, when has Tannehill been benched in Tennessee? When's he been benched?
Never. He doesn't get hurt.
Exactly. So, when's Wentz got hurt? Have you ever heard of Carson Wentz getting hurt? You ever hear of Carson Wentz being benched?
Yeah, it's happened.
You ever heard of those stories before?
It's happened.
Have you ever heard those stories before?
I think I was okay at the one game when he got hurt.
It's a segment called What's More Likely, meaning if there is a history to help guide your decision, you should rely on it.
Yeah, true. Play the odds.
That's what I'm attempting to do right here.
Play the odds.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's more likely? I've got one for you.
Okay.
What's more likely? TJ Jefferson attends Cowboys-Rams in week 5.
Okay.
Or sits on his ass at home and watches the game.
Oh, that's easy.
There.
That's easy.
Because I'm just taking preseason action. Your Cowboys are here.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes from this facility.
Well, I don't live in this facility, though, but
10 minutes from your house, 15 minutes from your house.
It takes me 16 minutes to get to SoFi.
Good enough.
Yeah.
And I understand it's not like clear sailing. It's not like the green lights are all synchronized once you're trying to get to a stadium. It doesn't matter if they are anyway.
Yeah.
I get it. But you're not going. Your Cowboys are literally here.
I actually think he will go.
Are you going to go?
This weekend?
Yeah.
No. For against the Rams.
Oh, Rams.
Five.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that we need to come into play. You know?
What's more likely?
Just talk Ashton into getting a box.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
Because Ashton is not.
Maybe Demi.
Are you calling him frugal?
Maybe Demi is going to sing the national anthem.
Well, if that's the case, then yeah, I'll go to the game. But I doubt she will.
Maybe Wilmer will toss the coin.
They're probably not.
Toss the coin.
I don't know. I'm just trying to making names that he's. Michelle Monaghan was here the other day. He dropped a name. She's like, oh, really? You know her? It's just unbelievable.
That's true.
Shout out to Natalie Martinez.
Yes.
That did happen.
The number of people that you take pictures with when they come here because you share mutual friends who they adore. Let's not avoid the subject. What's more likely? I'm going to guess he sits on his ass. You're saying you go to the game?
I think he goes.
What's more likely
when was
right
time
now?
You saw a Cowboys game. It's been a while.
What's more likely right now for week 5? It's week 5.
11-17 on the 19th of August? Yeah. Me staying at home.
See?
You guys don't understand, man. There's like
Dallas Cowboys at the Rams, October 9th, late window, Fox. 1 o'clock start right around here. You'll be home by dinner.
Yeah.
You can wake up late. You can get up. You know, what are you doing?
You should do that.
Okay, great. At least I'm right.
I'll explain it to you later. I'll explain it to you later.
What does that mean? Why are we going to do it off camera?
Because it could sound arrogant, the answer I'm going to give you, and I don't want to sound that way. So,
whoa.
You're holding out for free tickets.
Why?
Why? Well, just say it.
Yeah, sure.
Is that what you're trying to do?
I mean, it's free not necessarily tickets. Like I'm trying to do that, but you got to understand, I've set myself up at the crib.
Who's giving you free tickets?
So nice. I've got 2 55-inch TVs. Oh, I can sit there. Oh. I can rewind the game. Oh, I don't have to deal with crowds. I don't have to deal with people.
You got a ping pong table. You can make some popcorn.
Or just go to the game like a fan.
Or I can stay at the comfort of my crib.
I know TJ Jefferson, and you do not. I win that at one particular edition of What's More Likely.
Get your damn act together.
844-204-RICH.
I like being at home. I'm sorry.
We will take a break. More of your phone calls. TJ Jefferson's big ass grab bag and more here on a fun Friday edition of the program. Back
big Cowboys
here
fan, Stephen A.
Stephen A. Smith, everybody. Love him.
Loves the Cowboys.
Let's go to Jimmy in San Antonio. Line 4. Felly, line 4. Thank you. What's up, Jimmy?
Atta boy, Kid Maserati on the line 4.
Well done, Kid Maserati.
Kid Maserati.
Susie will love that nickname.
Oh, that's amazing.
By the way, that's what Jimmy's referring to, Chris, is when you were not here. You went to Vegas. to go canoeing down Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yes, yes, yes.
Susie, when she pulled in, and she's like, who's got the Maserati?
Right.
And I'm like, Jay Felly does. She's like, get out of here. She mentioned it like 15 times. But Kid Maserati's a good nickname.
Like that, right?
Well done,
that.
Jimmy. Well done. Name.
Hey, speaking of Susie, is it safe to talk about jelly beans or not right now?
It's okay. Go for it. Go for it.
No, I just want to be a wingman. I didn't want to get you in trouble.
That's all right.
You love jelly beans.
I do.
Good, man.
I'll take them.
All right. My fellow degenerate gambler, Brockman.
What up,
Jay? Hey, bud.
What up, brother?
I'm ready to take your bet on the Pete Carroll.
Yeah?
Yeah. Up to $1,000.
Well, I'm not going to do that. You tell me. That, but...
And here's why, Rich. Here's why. Because if I lose, I don't have to pay up.
Facts.
Jimmy is just coming Facts. In. Say hello to my little friend.
Take it easy, okay?
Okay. All right, Jimmy. I see you.
Violet the Pelican.
Brockman, I love you because I gamble just as much as you. I have two bets on a French and German soccer game right now, and I'm not even watching.
Good Lord.
You guys need to exchange info then.
My man.
So, Rich, why I called in is because of the LIV Tour.
Yep.
And Alan Shipnuts, I call him that because he drives me crazy because he's so smart. And every time he leaves your show, I have to see three different angles of what's really going on.
Right.
LIV is here to stay unless someone in the United States says, we won't accept your tour on our soil. They have that much money. And if Tiger is doing what he did, and having these meetings, that's how big it is. And like you said the other day, we're just nervous. What's next? I don't know. Thoughts about that from you would be appreciated.
Yeah, you know what? It's clearly not going to go anywhere. And thanks for the call, Jimmy. He's referring to Alan Shipnuck, the Fire Pit Collective writer who came on the show, I believe, was it Monday, Tuesday this week, to talk about the upcoming players meeting that I guess didn't include everybody, obviously. That Tiger flew in to take part in. And there hasn't been much chitter chat coming out of that meeting. It's been a tight circle, right?
Not yet. Yeah. We haven't
and
heard much.
Look, it really just depends on the consumer. It depends on the fan. And if the fan tires of the PGA Tour because there's not enough star power to watch, the PGA Tour will be in trouble. If the galleries aren't full and the TV partners don't get their return because the ratings are low, because you feel the tournaments are less than, the PGA Tour will be in trouble. And the LIV Tour won't take off if you can't see it. And if you do see it, if nobody watches, the LIV Tour will not take off. But the issue is that does it matter if the LIV Tour takes off if, as Alan Shipnuck points out, there are some Saudi nationals who are hanging out. What's the place they call the Centurion Club in London where they ordinarily wouldn't be welcome, but they take it over for the week because the LIV Tour is in London for the week.
Hosting the event,
and everybody is just like toasting them like, hey, come on in. Well, if that's the purpose of the LIV Tour, so they could live la vida loca, then the LIV Tour is going nowhere. Doesn't matter if it loses money or not. I was thinking this just yesterday, watching the BMW Championship.
Which has been great.
I have been into it.
Me too.
I love it. I like it. Now, would it be better if DeChambeau and DJ and... keep going. If they were all there, I think so.
Yes, it would.
It would be.
The golf would be better. Well, competitively.
The watch. I'm talking about the watch. The interest level.
You mean if they're still on the LIV Tour, but they're also playing in
what
this?
What I'm saying is if they were all there, I do like the competition. I do like the fact that only the top 30 are going to make it. And then we're going to find out everyone's going to be starting on the leaderboard based on where they are in the standings, and we'll play it out and we'll see who wins this mini season, right? I dig it. I like it. I enjoy the competition. I like watching the 72 holes. and I like that it means so much to these guys. I like Rory. I like the name value of some of the people that I'm seeing there. But I'm sitting here thinking, will this be the last time I see Cam Smith in this when he comes back? Because everybody thinks he's gone.
Yep. For about 125.
So, again, it's all going to come down to, I think, if the PGA Tour is viable enough for all of us to be interested in it, count me among them. The level of play to me is intense. It's terrific. I mean, you're still seeing some shot making that's incredible. But if enough of the star players leave and go to the LIV Tour, and then you have the opportunity to watch them, will you care that there's a team competition and it's 54 holes and it's a shotgun start and they're wearing shorts playing in a tournament that you've never heard of? And then I'll just say this too, because you have to have a watchable product, and you have to have a product that fans are going to want to watch. And if you're going to a course, I'll say it. If you're going to go to a course that Donald Trump is running, and then you basically see, you know, the Mike Lindell All-Stars partying off the 18th green, you're going to turn some people off. I'm serious. Like, you're going to turn some people off. And you want the tent to be big if you're going after the PGA Tour. That's another thing you have to consider. So let's see what happens when the LIV Tour gets a television deal. Shipnuck said it's coming, right? He said they're definitely going to. I mean, the stars that they have are remarkable stars. And there's stars around the planet, too. You have an international product that you're building. And then the PGA Tour has got to have enough fans who feel it's compelling enough that you're still sticking there. And we'll see what the LIV Tour business plan is moving forward, if they care about making a profit or not, and how long some of these players want to stick there. And then it does come down to the major tournament runners. That are they going to take the same stance as the PGA Tour? And will the PGA Tour players demand that these major tournaments take that stance? It's a lot of moving parts here, man.
It's going to get really heated up, next February, March, when we're getting close to the Masters. And as we know, there's several Masters champions on the LIV Tour now. Will they be allowed to play?
Well, it'll heat up if Cameron Smith says, "I'm going."
But everyone assumes that anyway.
But it still will be a tough blow to the PGA Tour if Cameron Smith says, "I am the winner of the Open Championship at St. Andrews. I have just won the FedEx Points Championship," whatever.
Yeah, he's the defending players champ. If he wins the FedEx Cup, defending Open Champ, and then it's like, see ya.
Yeah. And tell me next year I'm not allowed to defend these titles.
Right. And he's also the second or third ranked player in the world. Because before, the highest player they've gotten was like DJ, so was about 16, 18.
It'll heat up then, won't it? If he does that.
Yeah. But
and in the same way, if he accepts the trophy and announces it there.
No. Like Hogan, NWO style.
And I'll tell you what, if I'm going to the LIV, dude, I'm going to the LIV Tour, and I know it might offend some people and break some eggs, but wouldn't you want to use the platform that's the biggest platform possible to announce it and then raise all boats for the organization that you're joining?
I'm sure Greg Norman hopes.
But wouldn't you do that? I mean, you'd want to do that. You want to use your platform to get it out there and also raise the level of the competition and level of interest to what you're joining. You know, that would make sense. It would make headlines.
Jeez, big time.
Let's go to Royce in Vermont. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Royce?
Which line, please?
That is line three. I am so sorry, Philly. Okay. What's up, Royce?
Hey, Rich. Can you hear me?
I can, sir. You're on the show.
All right. First, I want to say thank you. You are iconic, and you are on my Mount Rushmore of the mothership. You and Stu and the Schwami and Dan, the best ever. I watched the first show. P people don't realize as fans, as we sit around and talk about how much work you guys do behind the scenes to do what you do. So thank
you.
And then the second thank you is I've always been a fan of Danny Thomas and St. Jude. I've never been able to donate like I wanted to. And because of your iconic 40-yard dash, I just decided I'm just going to do it. I don't care what it takes. And I would encourage everyone out there, find $25 a month and please donate to these people. It is amazing what you do.
That's a very generous amount, sir. $25 a month is a very generous amount.
You can find it. Rich, I'm working short time right now. I have a back injury, blah, blah, blah. But it is the most important bill that I have right now.
You're very kind
sure
to say that,
that,
Royce.
That gets paid.
You're very kind.
Okay, so now,
yes, sir.
To my questions, I have one more Mount Rushmore, which is Muhammad Ali, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, with a fifth head as an honorable mention to Serena Williams.
That's a good one.
Okay, so here's my two questions for you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
One is the Kevin Durant contract. If he sits out, does he get paid? And if he does, how are you getting paid for a contract? You signed a contract to play ball. You're not playing ball. So does he get paid? And then my second question is about Deshaun Watson. I want to know, because I think he's guilty of something. At the most, he's got a sexual problem with addiction. But why did two grand juries, how did they not find anything worth prosecuting? That's what I want to know, because we're all on him. You know he did something. Maybe he's just a pervert, but how did they not, listening to these women, find any criminal charges?
I don't know. And again, I'm not a legal expert to know what raises to the level, but I just know what a business like the NFL would take offense to, that's for sure, or any business, and what they were looking into specifically for him, and why that came out with the discipline that it did. I don't know the answer to that, but the New York Times report that Jenny Vrentis wrote is something that everybody should seek out, that came out about 6-8 weeks ago or so. And then, you know, and thanks for the call, by the way, Royce. You did literally had me at hello, and I appreciate what you said about St. Jude and everything else about my career. And then his first one was, what was the first one? Because I kind of got lost in the Deshaun Watson one. So, I should write these things down.
Well, anyway, I forgot also.
Yeah, I could just hear the passion in his voice right there. Okay, let's take a break. More phone calls. TJ Jefferson, you ready for your grab bag, sir? You ready for it?
I stay ready, so I don't have to get ready.
Okay, very good. Okay, that's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Terrestrial Radio Alpha.
Oh, man. Funny joke.
I told that story about Jeffrey Ross's joke about B. Arthur on a Tony Kornheiser local radio show years ago.
Really?
And then I told it that joke saying that Jeff Ross did it, and then suddenly through the internet it came to be that I made the joke. I created the joke.
Oh, wow. I mean.
No, I most certainly did not.
That's
the Roastmaster General. Only out of his brain could something leap. Right?
I don't think you have that dark side.
Roasts are, you know, I once had Nick Bakay write me jokes for the Dan Patrick roast in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And because I was the roast master, this was when Dan was on ESPN radio and they held a roast in his honor in Chicago. And Dan asked me to be the roast master. And have you never heard this story?
I went there
and I turned to Nick. I'm like, I want to do this right.
Yeah, roast
like
jokes.
But I want, you know, turn it up to Spinal Tap 11. I want you to write it. Mm-hmm. And then he asked who's on the dais, and I told him like Black Jack McDowell and Mark Malone and other people, and he had jokes for all of them. Yep. And the jokes that I had for Mark Malone, he physically removed me from the podium. He stopped me. He got up.
He was mad.
And I said, wait a minute, I got two more. And he's like, that's enough. He literally moved me away in introducing him.
Yeah, some people can't take
it. Oh, man. Yeah. It was. And ask Dan next time we have him on or you see him. There's a copy of it somewhere, and I think he buried it. Because it was, I worked blue. I got into it.
Oh,
it
I
was,
love roast. That's so funny.
Well, a roast master, the job of a roast master is to lay waste to the entire day, set the tone so everyone else can backfill in. Like you'd let everyone, like if you work nasty and blue, that allows everybody else to do that.
Because they're like, okay, this is the room.
Oh, man.
Yeah, roasts are the best.
I accept that role anytime, but it is against type for me. And I think Dan buried the tape out of respect to me.
Oh.
Because I was really, I mean, it's, it was off the charts.
I'm sorry!
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Very good. Thank you very much. All right, let's get to TJ's big ass grab bag. Are we ready for this?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's go to it. It's a Friday fun segment. Go for it, TJ. Go for it.
What's in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Oh, as we always do at this time. Kaboom! Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Listen, I kind of told you what this was about earlier, right? As I dug in this big-ass grab bag. You know, we're talking about De Niro yesterday. We kind of went down the greatest films that he had by decade, and that got me thinking as I dug in the grab bag. So I came up with this one, guys. I took a ton of actors.
Yes.
I broke them down by decade.
Okay.
All the films they did from a decade period. So we're talking from like 80 to 89 or from 90 to 2000. And I basically looked at all these films, and it was either between what I thought were the absolute best films, which is just too hard, or I just went with my favorite. Okay. So this is going to be TJ's favorite actors by decade. Okay. And if that makes sense to you. So I've taken a bunch of actors,
so
a bunch of decades.
Number five is from a certain decade, or
number five is an actor, and I took his entire body of work from that decade.
Let's go.
That's how we did it.
I like it.
First and foremost, I just want to give an honorable mention. This isn't part of the top five, but I just want to say
this. You can't do that. You can't do it.
Can you hear it and see if you appreciate it or not? Can you listen to it? What I'm saying? Okay. Back when I lived in Pittsburgh, I used to telemarket, right? And I worked with a guy named Clayton. Clayton was the best telemarketer in our business.
Kershaw?
Except that Michael? Clayton also had the lowest calls per hour. So our bosses couldn't figure out, how are you selling the most but having the least amount of calls? And he basically said, you know, I'm a big game hunter. I hit what I shoot at. So the reason I bring this up is there's a guy who didn't have a lot of films, but every single one of his films was the blank. It was it.
John Cassell,
and I figured you would appreciate that.
There
look at
is.
This guy's. Yeah. He made five films.
Before he
The
passed
Godfather,
away.
The Conversation, The Godfather Part Two, Dog Day Afternoon, The Deer Hunter. All five of these movies either won or were nominated for an Oscar. I believe that he deserved to be mentioned there, and that's what I wanted to do.
Married to Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I figured you guys would like that, kind of give him some props. So, also, I want to let you know I left De Niro out of this because we talked about him.
Just go. You went to 5A. I heard about Clayton the marketer.
Coming in at number five, I'm going to go with Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise in the 80s.
How's he not number one?
Look at this list of movies of Tom Cruise in the 80s. Taps, The Outsiders, Risky Business, All the Right Moves, filmed in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Top Gun, Color of Money, Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July. I mean, these are all bangers.
Yeah, he went from you know, box office star to Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
number one, nominee.
Well, you know what I mean? Color of Money was a big one. Scorsese, and he was with Paul Newman in that one. What a great movie that is. It's a remake of The Hustler.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a sequel to The Hustler.
Yeah.
awesome. So, you know, Cruz in the 80s, he could be number one. Like you said, Chris, I got him at 5, but hey, he could go anywhere. Coming at number 4, we got the great Al Pacino, 1970s Al Pacino. You could have went 90s Al Pacino, you could have went 70s, but I feel that these films, just the power in these films, The Godfather in 72, Serpico, 73, The Godfather Part 2 in 74, Dog Day Afternoon, 75, and Justice for All in 79.
Got it.
There's a reason this guy is considered the GOAT, and I feel like these films are kind of part of that reason.
Okay.
And number 3 is another guy who had a few decades, but I went with the 90s. Denzel Washington in the 90s. I loved these movies. Mo Better Blues in 90. Malcolm X in 92. The Pelican Brief. Philadelphia, both 93.
Crimson Tide,
95. He got Game, 98. Hurricane, 99. And The Bone Collector in 99. The great Denzel Washington. I feel like his 1990s was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and prior to that was Carbon Copy with George Siegel.
That was one of the first movies I think I saw
ever
of him. Right. Well, obviously it was his first movie, but I saw it later. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Number 2. This guy's another guy you could go with multiple decades. I had to pick one. I went with the 80s, and that's Mr. Jack Nicholson in the 80s. Look at this. The Shining and Postman Always Rings Twice in 80. Reds in 81. Terms of Endearment, 83. Pritzi's Honor, 85. The Witches of Eastwick in 87, along with Ironweed. And, of course, his turn as the Joker in Batman in 1989. Just, you could do 70s Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
but
you could.
I didn't have a connection with all those 70s movies.
Terms of Endearment was the first movie where Nicholson started playing his age. And I remember that was really significant for him to take that role and his role in it, where he was a supporting actor, not the actor in it. And he was amazing in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's great in everything.
I know that, but just that was a big role for him.
Only ever seen Batman on that list.
Really? Yeah, I mean, these are... You haven't seen any of those movies?
You haven't seen The Shining?
You ever seen The Postman Always Rings Twice?
Never even heard of that movie.
That one I haven't heard of
it. All right, well, coming in at number 1.
By the way, you know, he was also in Broadcast News.
Yeah, but you know, he wasn't like,
cameo
he had
in
a little cameo. That was more of, we think of William Hurt more that
no,
movie,
no,
right?
No, he was the main anchor that William Hurt was coming after. But go ahead.
All right, so number 1, and like I said, guys, this was tough, and I want to give a shout out to Tom Hanks, who could have been on this list. He didn't make it.
Oh, damn.
But I'm going with 1980s Harrison Ford. Remember, these are in terms of movies that I love the most. 1980s Harrison Ford, The Empire Strikes Back, 80. Raiders of the Lost Ark, 81. Blade Runner, 82. Return of the Jedi, 83. Temple of Doom, 84. Witness in 85. Mosquito Coast, 86. Working Girl, 88. The Last Crusade, another Indiana Jones, 89. I realize that you can argue this list, but to me, some of those are four of my favorite movies are listed there. Harrison Ford, in that decade, he got the nod, but like I said, it's up for interpretation, and that's my top 5.
He toggled back and forth between Han Solo and Indiana Jones. Toggled back and forth
for a whole
between
decade.
Him and stuck Blade Runner in between
Blade
one
Runner
of
between
them.
Blade Runner in between them. Like, man.
And Witness in front. Witness is a great movie, too.
Right? That's one of the movies we can agree on, yes.
One of the many movies. We agree on many movies.
But yeah, so I mean, I thought this was actually, guys, this was really tough to come up with. Like I said, there's so many people.
He left Tom Hanks on the cutting room floor. Michael Douglas on the cutting room floor.
Michael Douglas.
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman's 70s, on the cutting room floor.
Meryl Streep in the 80s. I mean, but you know, like I said, I picked movies that I had a personal attraction. You know.
No, it's okay. Yeah. It's your grab bag.
So that's it.
Pretty good.
Okay. Didn't start well. Finished up strong.
It didn't start well because you know.
Not what did I do? It's my fault.
Well, it's a top 5 list and he had 6.
I know. He started with a top 5 list. Here's one not in my top 5.
Well, it was because I was
trying. You do the honorable mention normally on the back end.
But I figured you guys would love that pick. So that's
why didn't you make him number 5?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't. It was hard enough to keep Tom Hanks out of there. I was going to pick another one of these guys not to put in. That was
DJ,
tough.
As I told Morgan Freeman, life is about making decisions.
And I made a decision, and I did not put him in the top 5. What are we arguing about?
Listen to those 5 words he's just said. As I told Morgan Freeman.
I want to slap him for saying, like, who dare you say, dare you? Like, you told Morgan Freeman something.
He liked it.
He did, actually.
I think he wanted to get up and hit him, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? But he knew
actually, he did appear to see respect the fact that he held his feet to the fire.
He didn't. Yeah. He didn't. He really didn't.
Whatever.
Well done.
So who would you have taken out and put Hanks in for, then? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Because I saw you kind of, I gave you my Nicholson one, and I was surprised.
Nicholson for me, because I had never seen any of those movies.
You've never seen any of the
Nicholson movies? Yeah, I saw Batman. What was it?
You never saw Pritzi's Honor, Witches?
You never saw Terms of Endearment?
I mean, I've heard of it.
You need to see that movie.
How is that going to help me?
What does that mean, help you? What do you mean?
How is it going to make my life better?
Because it's an incredible movie. It's a beautiful movie. It's heartbreaking.
Why do I want to feel bad? Life's sad enough.
How? I mean, Rich, Chris does have a point, right? Because remember,
I'm trying to enlighten and broaden the horizons of a man who's betting the under on preseason football. My bad. My bad. I will raise my hand and say that's my fault. Not yours. It's an MP, not a YP.
Thank you.
How does that help my life?
She's proud of the fact that some Scribini, who's now going to be cut off the team at the next cut, drop the ball in the end zone and make him look like a sage to bet an under on Bears, Seahawks, two teams. You got to be kidding me. But here I am saying, oh, you should watch this incredible James Brooks movie.
You need to stop watching a preseason game and watch The Shining, though.
Yeah, what's my problem?
It's a scary movie. I don't like scary.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Vince Gilligan of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul in studio on Monday. We will be back to wrap things up, literally, on Peacock when we come back.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.